This is Srinivas Rao, the host of the Vistage Podcast, and today I'm speaking with Don Rehm. Don is a founding partner of Engagient, the best-in-class provider of employee workplace metrics that enable organizations to increase engagement. He's coached more than 300 senators, royalty, and hundreds of CEOs in the private and nonprofit sectors. Don, thanks so much for taking the time to join us and share some of your insights with the Vistage listeners this morning.
It's wonderful to be here.
So, Don, I'm going to ask you my very first question, and that is, why should I be concerned about how engaged my employees are?
When you look at an enterprise, at a company, and you look at all the factors that come into play that determine outcomes, profitability, productivity, across the entire board, probably about 75% of what drives those key things are employees, and 25% is related to process and procedure. So we want to do more with employees so that we're using them as effectively as possible, so that they're as engaged as possible. And this is one thing that business has not done well over time. We're still treating employees like we did in the Industrial Revolution. We're not using science to help us understand what drives behavior in the workplace. And the bottom line is the way people feel determines how they behave. And so the culture of a company helps create that bottom line felt sense of what it likes, of what is it like to work here. And that's why it's so important for CEOs to be involved. You can only do so much through process and procedure. The rest of it's related to relationships and interactions of human beings.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me do this. Let's take a step back. I think one thing that might be useful is to define what we mean by engagement before we go on to our other questions, only because there could be some confusion about that. So how do you define employee engagement?
Sure. It's a really good question because many of the so-called employee engagement measures or tools that are out there are actually employee satisfaction tools or surveys. And there's a huge difference between employee satisfaction and employee engagement. In our company, we have a 26-question online tool that all employees take, and that's how we get the measurements on employee engagement. We don't ask a single question about how satisfied are you for a couple of reasons. One, you could measure employee satisfaction in your company and get a very high score. But it could be the score could be high because employees are overpaid and not held accountable. So they're thrilled. But that doesn't mean you have a high performance culture. What we go for are the key drivers of engagement. And let me break it down this way. Every employee knows what level of effort they have to bring to the workplace in order to survive and get through the day without someone pulling them aside. That's this minimum level of effort that every employee knows they have to bring to the workplace. But every single one of those individuals has an additional level of effort that represents their full capacity as a human being, what they could give if they wanted to. And we refer to that as discretionary effort. And there is no way to force discretionary effort out of an employee. They can only want to give it to the company, to the enterprise, to the team, to the manager. So what we want to focus on is what triggers discretionary effort. Because what you find in high-performance cultures is a very high degree of discretionary effort being released or volunteered by the employees. And here's a key factor around this. When you look at salary and benefits, which is the primary tool that we give to employees in exchange for their level of effort, and you look for the correlation between what you pay a person and what they do on a daily basis, the reality, there isn't any correlation. That is, what you pay an individual has no impact on what they do daily. Now, you can use salary and benefits to attract an employee, and you can use salary and benefits to keep them. But the key issue is, what's driving behavior on a daily basis, especially when no one's looking? And that's an internal decision, an intrinsic decision. So what we want to get at are the intrinsic drivers of behavior. And that's the key issue. So how do we define employee engagement? A high degree of discretionary effort being volunteered by employees. That's what we want to get to.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's interesting because I think you bring up something that is going on throughout our society, and I think it's largely driven by technology. One of the points that you brought up earlier is that so many people are still operating in an industrial era mindset when we've, you know, moved on beyond that. And I think what we're seeing for the first time in history, and part of it is definitely being Gen Y driven, another component of it is technology driven, people are wanting to find more meaning in their work than I've ever seen before. And what they value is starting to change, it seems like.
Oh, absolutely. Meaning and purpose, finding meaning and purpose in what an employee does during the day is one of the drivers of engagement. It's an intrinsic driver of someone wanting to be engaged and associated and connected with the enterprise. So that's absolutely true. We see in the Industrial Revolution, most jobs were boring and routine. And that's where most management theory was developed, and that's where the big management theory books come from, is from large companies with jobs that are boring and routine. We have fewer and fewer of those kinds of jobs today, certainly in the U.S. economy. And even when we do have jobs that are boring and routine, the people conducting those jobs have changed. They're no longer a recent second or even third generation of the Great Depression. They don't think about deprivation. Most of these Gen Y, Gen Xers have never experienced deprivation like our parents and grandparents did. So whereas 20, 30 years ago, the key issue was simply job security, get a job and hold on to it, that's no longer top of mind for today's workers. They want to find meaning and purpose in what they do. They want to work for a company that does good. We see a parallel here in the marketing world where people are no longer buying brands. They're really joining brands. They're joining brands that represent congruent values that they share. The same science that's being used in marketing should be used in HR, but it isn't. It's interesting because CEOs use science in almost everything they do, certainly in their financials, marketing, process, procedure, Six Sigma, lots of science being deployed. But when it comes to human beings and what drives their behavior on a daily basis, most CEOs, most organizations are operating in complete ignorance to what the science tells us motivates behavior.
Well, I think we're, as we said, in this era where people are looking for meaning and purpose, and I think people want to see the impact of the work that they do more than any other time as well.
Oh, absolutely. And this is another key factor of engagement, is helping employees connect what they do to what the enterprise is doing. That is, they need to know when they come into work every day, what is it that I do that has an impact on the larger enterprise, and what is that impact in the community? Mm-hmm. That's one of the key things. We have to help them. Here's the deal. Let me reverse engineer this. If an employee comes into work every day and they find no connection between what they do and what the company's accomplishing, they're adrift. And it's almost an excuse not to do much, because they feel if I don't do much, if I'm not engaged, it has no impact. The reverse of that is if I am engaged, they feel it has no impact. So we really do have to let employees know, see how they connect to the larger meaning and purpose and accomplishment of the enterprise.
Mm-hmm. So one of the key things that you have mentioned several times throughout the course of our conversation is this idea of discretionary effort. And what I'm curious about is, what can business owners do to trigger discretionary effort within their employees?
Yeah, it's a wonderful thing when you get onto it. There are a couple of key things. Recognition is very, very big. A meritocracy within the organization is really important. That is, when people do well and go above and beyond, they're recognized for it. Not necessarily rewarded with money, but recognized for level of effort is really, really important. In the broadest sense, I'd answer it this way: if we went to 30,000 feet and I looked down on a culture, cultures that are relational thrive. Cultures that are primarily transactional don't thrive. And so we want to create this relational culture. We are, and this now let me get down to the science of what drives behavior on a daily basis for every human being on the planet. We are, at our core, before everything else, that is, brush aside gender, age, ethnicity, education, personality, brush aside all of those factors, and you get down to the core, we are social animals. We are hardwired at a neurological level at birth to seek safe and secure connections with others. And when we have them, we thrive. And when we don't have them, we spend a lot of our time trying to protect ourselves, and we don't thrive. This is why cultures that are relational do thrive, because they create this safety within the enterprise for people to connect as social beings, which is what we are. And so what CEOs need to do is ask, how safe do my employees feel when they come to work every day? And I don't mean from the roof falling in. For example, do I come to work for a bipolar, unpredictable manager? And it doesn't matter what the CEO does across the board in the company. If an employee comes to work every day for a toxic manager, you're never going to get high levels of engagement out of that employee. Their world is a living hell. Managers are the weakest link in the chain of improving employee engagement. Because if you've got a toxic manager, all bets are off. What we know is that employees join companies, they quit managers. So let me sum it up a little bit. You need to be focused on your culture, relational versus transactional. What are we doing to create a safe place where people can connect at a social level? Two, what am I doing to help my managers elicit the intrinsic drivers of engagement from their employees? Do they have the skills in order to do it right? And the third area would probably be hiring. I've got to use science to hire the right people, people that fit with the culture and fit with where I want that culture to go. Right now, the hiring process is a mess. It's dysfunctional. There is, for example, no correlation between a job interviewer's assessment of a candidate and that candidate's success over time. None. That process is broken. We need to use science for hiring. And here, this takes us to an area that we don't do in our company, but we partner with others. And that is, you've got to use psychoanalytic testing when you hire people to make sure that they're the right fit, because fit is a far higher predictor of success of a new hire than their resume, by far.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a really, really good point. So one question around this: are there tactical things that CEOs and managers can be doing to get more engagement out of their employees?
Well, tactical, really practical things. One of the things that we're doing a lot of now at the request of the CEOs is we have a boot camp for managers on employee engagement. That is, you bring all the managers together, no matter what vendor you use, bring your managers together and talk about engagement and what it is. It's one of the most pervasive drivers of business performance. Look, when engagement goes up, so does productivity, profitability, shareholder value has been proven to go up in publicly traded companies. Employee passion and loyalty skyrockets with engagement. And there are a number of things that go down that are also really important. Sick leave declines, absenteeism, the theft rate, the accident rate, and perhaps most importantly, insurance claims of employee go down in these high-performance cultures where engagement is high. So there actually is no other single organizing principle you can have in an organization that will create more positive outcomes than a singular focus on how can we get our employees more engaged.
So, Don, one final question for you. You brought up this idea of two types of cultures, a relational and a transactional one. So let's say that we are currently in a sort of transactional culture. How do we shift an organization culturally from being a transactional one into a relational one?
This shift to a transactional culture really was also the result of science. It was the people, you know, performance by the numbers and everybody tracking the numbers. It's one of the most, insidious influences of Wall Street, of driving quarterly numbers and making quarterly figures. You know, there's an old saying, those that live by the sword die by the sword. And this singular focus on the numbers tends to push a culture into a transactional position. The numbers are important, and I get that. You can't manage what you don't measure. But we seem to have lost the fact that what really drives everything, sales, productivity, what it feels like in the organization is back to relationships. That's what drives virtually everything. Again, the way people feel determines how they behave. And if they don't feel safe, if they don't feel connected, if they can't find meaning and purpose, if they don't see a larger outcome based on what they do on a daily basis, they're just not going to be as engaged.
Excellent. Well, Don, this has been really, really insightful, and I can't thank you enough for taking the time to come and join us and share some of your insights with the Vistage listeners. Can you tell us a little bit more about where we can learn more about the work that you do?
Sure. You can go to our website, check out our blog. We have some white papers and tip sheets. It's Engagient, Engagient, IENT.com. Or you can also just drop me an email, and I'll turn you on to some of the, you know, some great books and resources out there that I think can help people get started. And you can reach me at Don Rehm, R-H-E-E-M, at Engagient.com.
Excellent. Well, this has been Srinivas Rao, the host of the Vistage podcast series. And until next time, good luck with your business.